Imagine designing like a protective vault that keeps out hurricane-force rain, but also needs to be breezy enough to prevent the electronics inside from just completely melting.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge.
Right. So today, your mission is to uncover the hidden engineering behind outdoor switchgear. We're looking at technical guidelines to see how these specialized electrical enclosures survive nature's absolute worst.
And it's really a masterclass in how engineers solve massively contradicting variables to keep your world powered. Because, well, they aren't just indoor panels with a lid slapped on them.
Exactly. I mean, the equipment inside, like the circuit breakers and relays, and that stuff is familiar. But you place that outside, and the variables just sort of explode.
Oh, absolutely. You're dealing with wind-driven rain, ultraviolet exposure, airborne salt, and just massive temperature swings.
Which brings us right to the core design contradiction. It's this constant tug of war between keeping water out and letting heat escape.
Right. So the industry uses IP ratings for this, like IP54 for splashing water, or say IP66 for really powerful jets.
But wait, if IP66 can handle powerful water jets, why isn't it perfectly waterproof? Like, what is the actual danger there?
Well, the danger isn't just water getting in, it's the heat being trapped. The tighter you seal that enclosure against moisture, the more you risk literally cooking the internal equipment.
Because of the heat generated by the electronics themselves.
That and solar gain. A dark enclosure facing south in the summer can easily exceed the heat generated by the electronics inside. And, a hot box quietly derates the power capacity of the switchgear.
So just to clarify for you listening, when you say it derates the capacity, you mean the heat physically forces us to lower the amount of power we can safely push through the system.
Yeah, the thermal physics basically dictate it. You have to size the box based on heat dissipation, not just physical fit.
Wow. Okay, so they run a strict heat balance to determine if natural ventilation is enough or if they have to like step up to active cooling. It's basically like wearing a thick rubber raincoat while running a marathon in the sun. You're completely protected from the rain, but you're going to overheat from your own energy.
That analogy fits perfectly, which makes the next data point, even more jarring, honestly.
Yeah, because since heat is such a massive problem, I was shocked to see that the number one cause of outdoor switchgear faults is actually related to the equipment getting too cold.
Right. Most people assume that if there's water inside a sealed enclosure, well, a gasket failed.
But that's not it.
Almost never. That moisture is usually condensation. If the internal surface temperature falls below the dew point, water vapor condenses into liquid and just stays wet on the equipment.
And that creates what the guidelines call tracking or flashovers. Basically, the electricity uses that moisture to find paths it shouldn't.
Exactly. It bypasses the insulation,
Yeah.
which leads directly to rapid corrosion and, catastrophic failure.
Oh, wow. So how do you even fix that?
The fix is installing an anti-condensation heater controlled by a hygrostat.
A device that constantly measures humidity.
Yeah, it automatically kicks on to keep the internal surfaces above that dew point.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me we spent all this time mapping out heat dissipation to cool the box down, and the ultimate solution to condensation is to put a heater inside it.
I know, it sounds completely counterintuitive. You're essentially forced to create a highly controlled microclimate inside a totally uncontrolled macroenvironment just to keep things dry.
That feels totally backwards. But I guess it makes sense. That doesn't solve the physical beating the box takes on the outside, though, right? Especially with salt or industrial chemicals.
No, not at all. The physical building blocks are dictated by isocorrosivity categories, ranging from C1 to CX.
Okay, and once you hit C4, which covers coastal areas or industrial zones, standard painted steel becomes completely useless. But why is that? I mean, paint keeps water off vehicles just fine in a coastal city.
Well, at C4 levels, the airborne salt actually permeates microfissures in standard paint. It acts as an electrolyte.
Oh, so it rapidly accelerates oxidation underneath the surface.
Exactly. The box literally eats itself from the inside out. At that point, you have to upgrade to stainless steel or glass-reinforced polyester.
Because those materials just don't react to the electrolytes.
Spot on. But here's the catch. Even if you buy the most expensive, highly rated stainless steel box, human error can ruin it instantly.
Right, the installation pitfalls mentioned in the sources are wild. A single unsealed cable knockout at the bottom of the box turns a certified IP66 enclosure into a literal rain collector.
Yeah, all that engineering completely defeated by one missing seal. It really is a precision survival suit for the grid.
Which leaves you with this to ponder. These enclosures achieve that perfect balance using historical climate data to predict temperature and solar gain.
But things are changing fast.
Exactly. As climate change brings unprecedented extreme weather globally, how will our current standard ratings like IP and NEMA have to evolve to prevent mass grid failures? If the marathon gets hotter and the rain gets heavier, how much longer will that rubber raincoat really hold up?